I want to read one passage from Romans chapter 10, page 1361. Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. Verse 13. For everyone who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wrote these words, and he means what he's written. Hell. Usually, hell is a subject of cartoons. Men laugh at the thought of hell. Hell is an actual place. Don't try and dismiss it as a fancy or a myth. It is an actual place. It's a place of the most terrible physical and soul suffering that a person can suffer. You get glimpses of the character of it. A lake of fire. We know that 100% burns, that is, your whole body is burnt. The agony, the pain, is unbearable. Hell's sufferings are far worse than that. Your soul will suffer, because you will know why you are there and why you are suffering. And you had the opportunity not to go to hell, but you chose to go there. Sin, S-I-N, you won't find it mentioned in the media. It is not a popular subject on TV or the radio, except in some Christian sermons. It is not popular. What is sin? Sin is that you do what you want to do and what you like to do, and you never ever consider what God wants you to do. You never bring God into your thoughts or into your life. It's a totally self-centered life. Murder is sin. Stealing is sin. Adultery is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Greed is sin. Lie is sin. Unkindness is sin. Cruelty is sin. I could go on. These things are the characteristics of the world in which we live in, are they not? The media is full of violence, full of murder, full of rape, full of killings, full of divorces, on every hand. But there's another effect of sin, the diseases we suffer, the physical infirmities we suffer. All the result of sin. Sin has ruined you, ruined me, ruined mankind. And God hates sin. We are all sinners. We're born in sin. We're born with an evil nature. And we cultivate that nature. It grows and develops. For some it goes to extreme success, extreme limits. But we're all sinners. And if you die in your sins, you'll be judged in your sins. You'll be raised in your sins, you'll be judged in your sins. And you will find yourself in hell. Now hell was not created by God for you. It was created for Satan and his angels. But if you find yourself there, it'll be on your own responsibility. But I want to tell you tonight that it is not the desire of God's heart that you should be in hell. The God who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb, who gave you your life there, who is preserving you a living person tonight, if he withdrew his hand from you, you would be dead in a moment. But he is preserving you in life. Why is he doing that? He's doing it because he wants you for himself. His love for you has never changed. Whatever you have done, whatever evil things you have done and spoken, hasn't altered God's heart of love towards you. The very fact you're in this hall tonight is proof that God loves you and he wants you. He wants you for himself. And he has made the perfect provision for you to be delivered from the power of Satan, sin and death, and to enjoy his presence enjoy his presence eternally. I said only one man has experienced the awful sufferings of hell, and that man was God's son. You know whom I'm speaking about. His name is Jesus. You know what happened to him? He never sinned. He never committed one small sin, not even a tiny sin. A lie is a lie, but people say it's white lies and black lies. He never told a lie, even a white one. There was nothing in him that God could find fault in. He was perfect in every way. He was tested in every circumstance of life. Whether you're a child or teenager or an adult, Jesus was tested in every circumstance of life. And in those circumstances, he never failed his God. He glorified his God in those circumstances. And he proved in his life here that he was a man without sin. He wasn't born in sin. The holy thing that shall be born shall be called Son of God. Holy, sinless, perfect. Everything he did was absolutely right in God's sight. And in him was seen something of the greatness of the love of God that's towards you. He took a long journey to a city of Samaria on foot, no public transport in those days, and he was wearied by the way, and he sat down at a well. Why did he go to Samaria? First of all, because there was a woman like you and me. A woman sunk in sin. She'd had five husbands. The one she lived with, she wasn't her husband, she was living in sin. And yet Jesus went all that way to meet her. To meet her in her need. She was despised by the men of the city. They would have nothing to do with her. She crept out at the heat of the day to gather water, because no one else would be gathering water at that time of the day. It was too hot. And she found Jesus sitting there by the well, weary with the way. He'd come all that way to meet her, and he's come a long way to meet you tonight, because you are as precious to him as she was precious to him. She was a Samaritan. She wasn't a Jew. She was a mixed race, despised by the Jews. But Jesus, in the greatness of his love, went to meet her and he's come to meet you tonight. Because he alone can deliver you from your sins. He alone can restore you in a relationship with God, which God wants you to enter into tonight. And that woman got that blessing. She got that blessing. God wants you to get that blessing. Upon the cross, Jesus died. Unjustly accused, unjustly condemned, he died, murdered by the Roman and religious authorities of the day. Murder, plain murder. An innocent, holy, sinless man. But there is another side to that. And that's the side I want to speak about. Jesus was on that cross because of his own personal love for you and for me. He allowed them to nail him to that cross. And there upon that cross, he was made sin, that which God hates. And there God laid upon him the sins of everyone who has trusted him. He laid my sins. And there, in those 3 hours, what the eternal ages can never exhaust, hell's eternal fires, he bore for me upon that cross. Oh, the horror, the awfulness, the agony that Jesus suffered upon that cross from the hand of a holy, sin-hating God as my substitute, before God. The fact that he was God's beloved Son made no difference. There's no mitigation in the terrible sufferings that he suffered. The sufferings that I deserved as a sinner. He bore upon that cross for me. Can you say that? He died for me. He suffered for me. And you get a glimpse of the awful character of that suffering in that great cry of Jesus upon that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's no companionship in hell. There's no restoration of a person in hell with their God. The link is forever broken. Jesus suffered for you and for me. And then at the end, when a man on the cross is at the last point of his life and dying, he uttered a great cry, "'Tis finished!" What did he mean by that? It meant that the work that was needed to deliver you and your never dying soul from hell, judgment and hell, that work had been completed. Nothing else had to be done. It was completed. Oh, my friend, has a man ever loved you like Jesus has loved you? Anyone done what he has done? No. There's nothing to compare with the precious finished work of Jesus upon Calvary's cross. And he did it because he loved you. He loved you with an everlasting love. Won't you bow to that love? Turn and open your heart and accept Jesus in tonight. His side was pierced. Now it flowed blood and water. God had clearly said there could be no remission or forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Shedding of blood speaks of a life given up. And Jesus shed his blood upon Calvary's tree. And God has said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. all sin. No sin is exempt from the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. All sin. Some of the most wicked men this world has ever known. They went to the electric chair, turned and put their trust in Jesus, cried for mercy. They died. Just judgment for their sins upon this earth. But those sins of God, cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus, because they trusted Him. They trusted Him. But don't leave it to your deathbed. You might not have an opportunity to turn to Jesus on your deathbed. Death can be very sudden. An aircraft, small aircraft, crashed. Man and his wife were killed. One child survived. Passed from life into eternity. It was thought that they hadn't trusted in Jesus. We don't know for certain, because the Lord knows those that are His. But they didn't get an opportunity to turn to Jesus in those last moments. Death was sudden. Today is the day of salvation. How do I know that God is satisfied with the work that Jesus has finished on Calvary's tree? Well, His body was put into a tomb. It was sealed by a stone. And after 3 days, God rolled away that stone to show that the tomb was empty. God had raised Jesus from amongst the dead. And He ascended and seated at His right hand of the Majesty on high. If there was one trace of one of my sins upon Him, I speak reverently, God could not have raised Jesus from the grave. But He's there now as a witness to God's entire satisfaction in the work that He has finished. Now what about you? You're going to be found in hell, and you'll look back this evening and you'll remember that you had an opportunity not to be there, and you ignored that opportunity. You trod it underfoot and went out this room the same as you came in. I fear for you. God is merciful. God loves you. God wants you. He wants you simply to do as He says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, that's owning Him as your boss, your master, in every way. Just submit to Him in repentance. Repentance means that you tell Jesus that you are not worthy to be saved, but you want to be saved. And you cry to Him for mercy. And you own Him as your Lord and your Master. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from amongst the dead. And you lay hold the fact that I am preaching, I am speaking of a man who's alive today, seated at the right hand of God, a real living man of flesh and bone. His blood remains shed for you and for me. And then what does God say? Thou shalt be saved. God never goes back on His word. A statement like this stands for eternity, stands now. Never has to be modified. Never has to be brought up to date. Thou shalt be saved. Let the certainty of God's word sink into your very heart and soul, and turn and put your trust in Jesus. For everyone whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no one rejected who calls on the name of the Lord, who turns and cries to Him for mercy. You say it's difficult to believe.
Ask the Lord to give you the power to believe if you want to believe, and he will give you that power. Well, do you want to be amongst those that are saved, or do you want to be numbered amongst those that are lost? You've got only two roads before you. Only two roads. Which one are you going to take tonight? There might never be another opportunity. May you, I pray, that God's love might prevail, and you might come to the Saviour and put your trust in him. And he's an all the way home Saviour. He will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and you will prove in life's pathway what little is left here, that he's a real person. He's a real man, and that he loves you with an everlasting love, a love such as no one else has loved you. The love of Jesus is without compare. May you know that in your heart tonight by putting your trust in Jesus.